Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, here in the heartland, in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, transmitting to the world.
Tommy back here in the bunker on Moonsday. Moonsday the 5th. 5th of May 2014. 5-5-14. How about that? Still working on a new moon here in the bunker. Yeah. It's been dreary and overcast. We had some rain, had some thunder clapping today, this morning. But not much rain. But it's cool. It's cool. I had to put my thong back up. I gotta wait a while, I guess. Oh, boys and girls, here we go for a Monday. Did you know that there's a research outfit went and picked up $1 bills at a bank and tested them? And they found that these bills were covered with 3,000 different types of germs from various sources. And 1.2 billion evidences of DNA. And half of that DNA that was found on dollar bills wasn't human. Wow, man, you better watch that. See, we're getting even with all those rich guys. They got all those money, got all that money. Yeah, of course, they don't deal in dollar bills. That's the problem. That's amazing how much filth is on our money. That's why they call it, used to call it, I know my dad called it, filthy lucre. Now, the bacteria that they found most often was the bacteria that causes acne. So watch out, you teenagers, when you're handling money. Well, is this all pie in the sky, or is this a false flag, or what? According to a Republican South Dakota state senator and free market economy advocate, businesses should have the right to deny services to clientele based on their race. In an interview with the Rapid City Journal, Phil Jensen stood by those beliefs, saying, quote, if someone was a member of the Ku Klux Klan and they were running a little bakery, for instance, the majority of us would find it detestable that they refused to serve blacks. And guess what? In a matter of weeks or so, that business would be shut down because no one would be patronizing them. Well, I disagree with you, buddy. You can cover your ass or try to cover your ass all you want. But I guarantee you that if small shops in certain areas of the country opened up as knowingly have racial people owning it and so forth, or maybe even advertising it, they'd probably get a hell of a lot of business. Jensen believes the free market should decide whether or not racial discrimination is acceptable, not the government. Well, it should be the race that's being damaged the worst, and that's the white race. These views are in line with a bill Jensen pushed in South Dakota's last legislative session, Senate Bill 128, which proposed legalized discrimination by encouraging employers to enforce the right to refuse services based on a customer's sexual orientation without fear of a lawsuit, unquote. You see what they're trying to do? This, they're trying to placate the hardcore Christians. It's not a real plan to give you more privileges to discriminate. But there should be no law one way or the other on discrimination. You should be able to discriminate any way you want to. It should be a natural law. It is a natural law. And you could use it now if more people would do it. I use it all the time. If I go to a business, go into a business establishment, and it's mostly non-white or encouraging non-whites to do business there all the time, every time I go there, I have to be swamped with non-whites all around me. I don't go back. I discriminate all the time. Quote, it's a bill that protects the constitutional right of free association. You know, they like to use a lot of double talk on this stuff. The right to free speech and private property rights. Well, Jensen said of SB 128, quote, a bill that would have ensured freedom of business to choose their clientele. Well, how about everybody free to choose who you rent to, who you sell gas to, who you serve a beer to, or whatever? That's the way it should be. And as far as rights, the fact that they're even talking about rights proves there are no such thing as rights. Because if these were inalienable rights, there would be no argument. You could run a business and discriminate any way you wanted to. Sell your house to whoever you want to. The bill, very similar to legal discrimination measures that were considered in Arizona, where it passed before being vetoed by Governor Jan Brewer, and Kansas didn't even receive support from fellow Republicans. However, with Republican State Senator Mark Kirkby calling it a mean and nasty, hateful, vindictive bill. You see, the Republican Party is all... The Republican Party, for the most part, acts like the wrong kind of Democrats. So anyhow... Anyhow, though, things are, there's a little bit of change around here and there. That's right. Jew Sterling, Donald Sterling, isn't the only public figure under the following, the release of a racist recording. I told you about this the other day. A New Jersey local councilwoman has denied that it is her voice that is heard using a racial slur in the background of voicemail. She said, they're going to have niggas taking over the town. I heard it. Marie Stromolo Burke, who is running for mayor of Belleville in Newark suburb, has said on multiple occasions it's not her making the comments. Well, who was it then? I'm tired of defending myself, she said last week. I take offense that I'm being labeled a racist. You are racist. I heard you say it on the tape. I heard you say it on the tape. Oh, God. What? You know, there's only one thing that's almost as bad as a race mixer, and that's a racist who is in denial and won't just come out and say it. The recording was uploaded to YouTube on March 26th by her opponent in the campaign for mayor. Toward the end of the voicemail reportedly left by former planning board chairman Sam Papa on Councilman Kevin Kennedy's machine, a woman can be heard shouting, "This is terrible. This is... wait a minute. This is going to be a fucking nigger town if you keep this stuff up." After a brief pause, the voice reiterates, "This is a nigger town," unquote. Well, let's see if we can hear it. I think I played it for you before. Let's see. Let me see here.
One old message.
Hey, Kevin, Sammy. I stopped by Marie's house, and she tells me she had a conversation with Kimball, and Kimball's going to vote for Arlene Shore. So I guess you become very important, because I know that she's got John and Marie. So I guess it's up to you whether Arlene gets appointed or not, if Kimball's telling Marie the truth. But that's what he told her, that he's for, he's going to vote for, he promised her he's going to vote for Arlene. So I just thought you'd not want to know. So, all right, do the right thing. And by the way, I understand the tax bills are out, and some people got $1,600 raises on two family houses. Marie's phone is ringing off the wall. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
Why are the taxes out now? I thought it was working. I don't believe it's still decreasing yet.
I don't know. I thought they were working on them. I thought they got it down to five something, not counting the board of ed.
This is going to be a fucking nigger town.
Well, people are going to call you, too. Forget about it. All right, I'll talk to you, Jeff. Bye.
Well, I guess the truth hurts. This is going to be Niggertown. Well, you know it is. All those cities back there in the east are pretty much that way. And out here in the Midwest and the West, it's getting that way too. So don't you dare tell the truth. But quit backing down. You said it. Say, yeah, I said it, because it's the truth. Well, I see the Jew boys are trying to stoke it up again, like they always are. This is from Prague. A new study by Prague's Jewish community, released on Monday, registered a significant increase of attacks against Jews on the Internet for the second straight year. In other words, somebody is calling Jews bad names on the Internet. So what? So what? The annual report on anti-Jewism said the number of Internet attacks, including text, photos, and videos, jumped to 156 in 2013 and from 82 in 2012. Well, hell. The report said that the pro-Israeli stance of the Czech government was among the reasons for the attacks. Well, people are unhappy. So what? Quit supporting Israel. Besides the Internet attacks, it said that anti-Jewism in the Czech Republic remains at a relatively low level, with one physical attack registered last year and three attacks on Jewish property. Can you believe that? they're making this big a deal out of it. The Jews always like to blow small incidents into a major thing. Only one physical attack in 1 year. Can you believe it? The anti-Jewish materials, the report said, includes incitement, support, and justification for killing Jews, their demonization, denial of the Holocaust, and the delegitimization of the State of Israel. Oh, well, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Next, the ovens will open up and swallow up all the Jews in Czechoslovakia. That came from the Palm Beach Post in Florida. They want to get all these Jews excited, and then they'll contribute more money to these AIPAC and ADL and so forth. Drain the rich Jews in Palm Beach. Now here it says a Russian neo-Nazi organization, which, like I tell you, there is no such thing. Police have busted in a Czech cell of the Wotan Jungad. That's Wotan Youth neo-Nazi organization. Cell of the Wotan Jungan Russian neo-Nazi organization by a 21-year-old foreigner who was living permanently someplace. But anyhow, big deal. Neo-Nazis. No, they're not neo-Nazis. They're just guys that may like some of the things about National Socialism and the war and so forth like that, but they're not a Nazi organization because there is no Nazi organization. Well, let's see what Jim Hightower's got to say today.
They're back. They're rested. They're ready. Our Congress critters, that is. They've returned to their workplace after enjoying a badly needed 2-week Easter vacation. After all, it had been a full 4 weeks since their last vacation in March. And meanwhile, they'd been doing a lot of heavy lifting. You know, passing a jobs bill, raising the minimum wage, and extending long-term unemployment benefits for millions of desperate folks who've been unable to find jobs. Yes, sirree, our legislative leaders have been working like mules to strengthen America's hard-hit middle class. Oh, wait. My mistake. They haven't passed any of that stuff. In fact, the GOP House, along with the Republicans in the Senate, have been working overtime to kill any bills to lift up America's workaday families. Still, as you might imagine, killing bills can plumb tucker you out. So those lawmakers, or in this case, law killers, undoubtedly needed a break. Sure enough, now that they're back at the congressional grindstone, they seem full of pep, ready to say no again and again. Only a week after returning, for example, Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell rose up on his hind legs, mustered a burst of negative energy, and zapped dead a Democratic proposal to hike America's minimum wage. As a result of Mitch's legislative labor of love, millions of hardworking people will remain stuck in poverty wage jobs for the foreseeable future. Who benefits from such a Dickensian effort? McDonald's, Domino's Pizza, Taco Bell, and other multi-billion-dollar giants that profit by holding down their own workers. This is Jim Hightower saying, the widening chasm of income inequality in our land of opportunity is no accident. It exists, and it grows worse by political design. Americans would be better off if those designing lawmakers just stayed on vacation.
Well, the ruling class does not want to cut their profits, so what they'll do is, if we raise the minimum wage, we should, of course. But the problem is that then the ruling class, the corporates, will raise their prices on everything to make up for it, so they don't lose anything, so they can continue to be mega wealthy. Now, the only way you're going to get around that is to go directly at the ruling class with higher taxes. And the Republicans are sure not going to do it, and damn few of the Democrats are going to do it. So what are you going to do? Well, but that's the problem. If you just raise the minimum wage and you don't raise the taxes on the 2 or 3% of the people at the top in this country, well, they're just going to figure another way to rip you off. Well, let's see here. Ukraine? This place feels familiar. I've been here before. Remember when the Bolshevik, Jew-led Bolsheviks carved out the Ukraine in the first place? You don't hear any of the mainstream people talking about that in the media, do you? No, you don't. Or maybe it just reminds me of another place. Was it Iran in 53? Guatemala, 1954? Was it the Congo in 1961? Was it Chile in 1973? Maybe it was Iraq in 1990? Or Iraq in 2003? Or Libya in 2011? Or Syria in 2013? Or Vietnam? Or? Something seems so deja vu. Some regimes that is not sufficiently open to the embrace of Western love, and then there are mobs, and then the U.S. government and the U.K. government and their allies suddenly see the need to do the right thing and help the public rid themselves of a corrupt ruler and enjoy vibrant, sunshiny democracy, no matter that this man was actually elected. The problem is, you can only believe that the West truly cares about the people of the Ukraine and their democracy if you have zero historical memory, or if your analysis of all these events comes from news organizations that don't ever really fully do their jobs, at least for the people. They do their job all right for those in power. The U.S. corporate media never changes its spots. After being tricked and lied to on Vietnam, the first Gulf War, the Iraq invasion, Libya, Syria, and just about everything else, it once again takes the U.S. foreign policy establishment at its word that it only wishes to do the right thing. The right thing. It bears repeating. We're told that the U.S. and its allies are just thrilled about the people going into the streets to overthrow corruption and excess by financial elites. Yet when people tried that in the U.S., the police were there in force to shut them down. Remember Occupy Wall Street? Occupy looked a bit like the Ukrainian uprising, except that the U.S. establishment was desperate to crush it. For the ultimate in this, see our exclusive report on a suppressed FBI investigation into the plans to use high-powered snipers to kill Occupy leaders. No, this is no joke. Also, with the Iraq, Saddam, Libya, Gaddafi, Syria, Assad, and so on, the West has a long history of getting rid of leaders who exhibit any streak of independence. Their dislikability is not the issue. The West has shown it doesn't mind tyrants at all, provided there are tyrants. It left those above-mentioned fellows alone. It did business with them until it decided not to. Meanwhile, there are the charming rulers of Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the Gulf mini-monarchies, and the like. Here's a nifty list of dictators the U.S. especially loves. Yeah, these are the guys they like. In the case of the Ukraine, one thing is clear. Awful guy one, Yanukovych, was made a better offer by rescuing his plummeting economy by the awful guy two, Putin, than by the West, awful guys 3-10. So he did what he had to do. He took the better deal. Plenty of people in this country have objected to his turning to Moscow for a lot of different self-interested reasons. But one could argue that he made a prudent decision. One could also note that it's not unheard of that a smaller countries try to maintain close and friendly relations with more powerful and aggressive nation next door. Canada and Mexico, anyone? One of the more popular media themes has been the blatant corruption of the Ukrainian leader. But before we trash Yanukovych for enriching himself, take a look at the splendor in which the American president resides. And look at how comfortable our Bushes and our Clintons live after leaving the White House. Everybody benefits from endemic corruption of the global system, except for the people whose labors actually sustain it. You remember when the Obama family was over there in Japan, or was it China, staying in $3,000 a night hotels? How about that? Recently, the debate about the Ukraine has begun to move on to whether the opposition of Yanukovych is driven by civilized people or dangerous neo-Nazis and fascists. The problem with this debate is that even a best-case scenario with a clean slate of rosy-cheeked reformers in place, you'll have a new government that must turn to the West, further isolating Russia and goading Putin to lash out. And then there's this little thing, everything pretty much is about money. Like Tommy says, follow the money. And not just Yanukovych hankering for the finest gold toilet fixtures. The battle with Russia, like coming battles with China, and like just about every other intervention in the Middle East and elsewhere, is for control of energy supplies, the greatest source of wealth in the history of the world. It's worth noting that the Middle East is not the next big thing when it comes to energy supplies. The former Soviet Union is. And after that, it's the Arctic, where guess who is the West's biggest competitors? Why, Russia. Who blocked the impending coalition invasion of Syria? A wily Vladimir Putin. So you can recognize Putin for what he is, another egomaniacal tyrant, and still recognize that he provides an essential balance to what would otherwise be an unchallenged superpower hegemony. If Putin and Russia continue to be surrounded and marginalized, the world will become ever more hostage to the whims of the wolves of Wall Street class that drive the energy industry, which in turn drives the policies of the White House, Downing Street, and other similar addresses. Ultimately, it is us, the citizens of the West, who lose big in allowing uncontested victories by this unelected alliance operating putatively on our behalf. We, the people, marginalize our own interests. We also ensure that we ourselves never break free of our own political corruption and remain unable to inaugurate our own real functioning government. There you go. What do you think of that? Well, it's true. And that's why the major press will put it down, because it is true. Hey, you remember when they started clamping down big time on the tobacco companies in this country? It's gone about 30 years ago, wasn't it? Well, in the last 30 years, the lung cancer and heart disease in China has risen 435%. So a lot of people in this country got off the fix and got off the nicotine drug, but it's flying high in China, man. It's better than biological warfare there. Killing all those Chinese communists. Or is it capitalists? Or maybe China capitalists? Or maybe commie capitalists? And did I remind you last week that China burns more coal than all the rest of the countries in the world combined? And you wonder why they have terrible pollution in China. Horrible pollution. Do you remember that story I told you where the Chinaman went abroad and got a glass jar and put a lid on it and took that air in that jar back to China and sold it for $400? Supposed to be a true story. So are both the capitalists and the progressives winning in China? I mean, you know, if millions of people are dying due to pollution and the capitalist system being adopted by China, I mean, with the total infrastructure of China deteriorating like mad, seems to me like the old anti-communists got their way. You know, we used to say, oh, China's going to get us. China's going to get us. Looks like we're getting China. Sounds like we're getting them big time. So this wacky idea of surrounding China with the military-industrial complex and the Navy and ground troops is ridiculous on the face of it.
General Keith Alexander is a decorated military veteran who ran the NSA for the last 8.5 years. During that time, he faced questioning from the highest ranking officials in the land. But now, he would face the opposite of that.
So first, General, thank you so much for sitting down with me. Looking back on your time at the NSA, do you have any regrets, such as not retiring 1 year earlier?
You know, I thought about that. And, you know, at times you think, if I had just retired, somebody else would have had this burden. It would have been wrong for me to leave that for somebody else to do.
Do you think that the NSA is suffering from a perception problem with the American people at the moment, bearing in mind that the answer to that is yes?
Absolutely. You know, the first assumption is that you're collecting on the American people. And therein lies the problem, because the reality is the target is not the American people.
No, the target is not the American people, but it seems that too often you miss the target and you hit the American person standing next to it going, whoa, him!
But you see, we're not just out there gathering U.S. communications, listening to their phone calls, or collecting their emails. But that's the first thing that people jump to.
But you are out there doing that. You're just saying you're not then reading them. You are gathering that data.
No, so in terms of going after U.S. infrastructure or sitting here in the United States, you know, talking to A and B, talking in the United States, we aren't collecting that. We don't collect that. We do collect the metadata, a to-from number, date, time, group, and duration of a call. That's all that's in there.
But that's not nothing.
No, that's not nothing.
That's significant information. Otherwise, you wouldn't want it. Is this the argument, then, that to get the needle, you need the haystack?
Well, that's part of the argument.
Right, but people's concerns, I think, are that you're not just taking the haystack, you're taking the whole farm,
right,
and the county and the state, and you've now got some photos of the farmer's wife in the shower as well.
So NSA is not allowed to go do that on its own. It has oversight. And so what the courts, Congress, and the administration do is say, if you're going to do this, it has to comport with the Constitution. So the question I think the American people really have to ask is, are we doing the right things to protect the nation and our civil liberties and privacy? I am the biggest advocate of freedom of the networks, internet. And if we could come up with a way of segregating all the terrorist communications, one, it would really help us and protect our civil liberties and privacy. And, you know, there was a great statement by somebody. You could probably get this into a part of that. You know what we really need to do is all the bad guys need to be on this section of the internet. And they only operate over here. All good people operate over here. All bad guys over here.
Are you talking about Pinterest?
No, you know, bad guy.
Oh, I thought you meant all the worst people in the world in one area. So I thought you were talking about Pinterest, because that seems to be where they kind of assemble.
Oh, could be.
They are the worst people. Oh, look, I've found this gopher bedspread. I'd love that. Shut up.
So I've not seen that.
That's what you haven't seen. As director of the NSA, you haven't seen Pinterest.
That's right.
So that's where the terrorists could have been hiding all these
and
years.
And I've led a sheltered life.
How much data do you need to keep Americans safe?
That's a tough question. I don't know the answer to that. Here's what I do know. Look at the last 12 years, 13 years since 9/11. We've had a tremendous and remarkable record. That wasn't by accident.
But you're always going to err on the side, aren't you, in your position of wanting more rather than less to be safe?
Well, absolutely. And the court is going to take just the opposite view and say, do you have the necessary rationale for having this data?
That's what I'm saying. So those two principles of the NSA are built to clash. You have
That's
one
right.
side saying, let's take everything. You have one side saying, let's protect privacy. Those two things don't work together.
Well, they actually, you have to balance them, but I think you can do both.
It's been said that your motto was collect everything. Is that true?
For specific problems.
Right. But you do understand that collect everything is also the motto of a hoarder. That's the fundamental principle which ends up with someone living alongside 1,500 copies of newspapers from the 1950s and six mummified cats.
What I would tell you is, let's go to where that statement applied, Iraq. And the situation was 2006. And the issue was the number of casualties for us and our allies was rising.
In your mind, has the NSA ever done something illegal?
In my time, no. Not that I know of. You know, one of the most impressive things that I've seen in my career was people who've made a mistake that could be a huge mistake stepping up to say, I made a mistake. And in every case, to my knowledge, everyone except for 12 individuals stepped forward at the time they made those mistakes.
Right, but you can't say everyone except for 12. That's like saying I've never killed anyone apart from those three people that I have buried under my patio at home.
The issue is, I think the key issue is that I was trying to make is, in every case, we reported. In some cases, those who made a mistake didn't report but were still caught.
Why should the American people trust the NSA?
Well, from my perspective, because of what they do to protect this country every day. These are good people trying to do the right thing.
Right, but much of your reassurance there is based on your own moral code. The idea of you thinking, well, I wouldn't abuse this power, so why would anyone else? I would, if I had access to that kind of information, I would abuse the hell out of it. I'd be looking up information about everyone that I knew. I know that.
Everybody who goes through the training, they'd say, John, here's the deal. You're going to get access to this data. But you can't use it for these things, you can't use it for this, and you can't use it for this.
Sure, I definitely won't do that. Where's my computer?
Right. And so as soon as you get on the computer, what happens?
Sure.
You type in...
What's her name? God, she screwed me over so bad.
Boom. Where's her and boyfriend? You hit return?
There.
And...
You bitch! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
If you were caught doing that, then you would either be removed...
Or promoted.
No, referred to the Department of Justice, as we did on several of those cases.
Let's talk about Snowden. What would you like Snowden to know right now, other than significantly less?
I would like to set him down in a classified setting and say, you want to see the damage you've done? And lay that out on the terrorist side and others. So he knows in his heart, and he would have to live with that the rest of his life.
Right. But you're giving information to the one man on Earth guaranteed to leak it. Is it any wonder that Americans are concerned about your judgment regarding their data?
Well, you know, you're asking ideally if we had a way of sitting him down and that he's not going to go leak more data and you could show him, do you understand what you've done? And from my perspective, I don't think he understands the true damage that he's done.
Right. Okay, so finally, let's talk about branding. The NSA's brand has been damaged, I think that's fair to say, right?
Right.
As we learned with Blackwater, you don't have to change the substance of anything that you do as long as you visibly rebrand.
Okay.
So let's try this. The Washington Redskins. It's a slightly less tainted brand than yours.
Yeah, but probably not a good one to go with.
Sorry, okay, no good. How about this?
Mr. Tiggles.
Mr. Tiggles is not just the mascot. It's also the name of the agency, like Chuck E. Cheese. Then a journalist can't say the NSA is storing huge amounts of data on foreign countries. Instead, it's saying, Mr. Tiggles is storing huge amounts of data
in the boot.
Isn't he clever? It's in his boot. Oh, you've massively overstepped your bounds, Mr. Tiggles, but I can't stay mad at you.
That's right.
You just want to keep me safe.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to work.
Okay, how about rebranding yourself as a great listener?
The only agency in government that really listens.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Because in many ways, the NSA is the perfect partner. So, let me introduce you to the new NSA, Trevor.
I think this is good.
Tell us about your day, everything about it. How's Mohammed at work? How is he? What's he been doing?
Trevor.
So, if you had to choose one of these, which would it be?
Well, I think that's something that perhaps you could have people vote on.
So there you have it. At long last, Americans are being allowed to vote on something having to do with the NSA. Just pick up your phone and call any number and say A, B, or C into the handset. Don't worry, your vote will be collected.
Boy, whenever these guys mention the Constitution, it drives me up the wall. They care about the Constitution, just like George Bush Jr. Constitution is just a piece of paper. These people in power, they don't care about any Constitution. They have the power, they have the money, and they're going to do what they want. Now, you know as well as I do, the billions of dollars that have been spent on the war on terror, both inside this country and outside, trillions of dollars, has not netted them hardly anything. You know, first we go over in the Middle East and stir it up, you know, over oil and narcotics and so forth, piss off the people, then we go in there and bomb the shit out of them and piss them off some more, and then you'd think they would be pouring across our borders every day, planting bombs everywhere. But where are they? You'd think they'd be starting forest fires everywhere, but where in the hell are they? You'd think they would be having their telescopic sight rifles with silencers on, just blowing away politicians and people all over the country in the big shots. They're not doing it. So you know the whole war on terror was a scam. Pretty much like back in the 50s and 60s, the war on communism. And that I was all wrapped up in, boy, I gotta spend all my money fighting the communists. But it was very difficult to find a communist during that period of time. They had people they called communists. It would have been a lot cheaper just to allow the Communist Party to operate and get as how many votes they could get. But billions were spent on that too. I think I paid, I paid for my first house with that military-industrial complex money with Douglas Aircraft, where we were building intercontinental rockets and rockets to the moon. But the most of the time was put in on ICBMs and stuff, so that's the way. See, we've been taken for a ride from the very beginning. And we've overemphasized things that shouldn't be overemphasized. And now it's become so damn clear to anybody with half a brain. I mean, even I figured it out. I mean, surprise, surprise. It's all a scam. The war on communism was a scam. We're going to go to Vietnam, or we're going to go to Korea and stop the communists? Bullshit. And now we're going to stop, we're going to have the war on terror, and now that's winding down, and now we're going to have to get ready for the war on China. Don't fall for that shit anymore. Don't let the system romance you around and dance you across the dance floor. It's all a big fucking bunch of crap. All of it. Tomorrow they're going to vote around here. Probably going to vote in a lot of other places too. Voting for judges. And the same old hacks will get back in. Or new hacks that are going to be just as corrupt will get in. They got the war of the election signs around. You can't even hardly see the guy's yards for their signs. Backing all these candidates for judges and things like that. And articles in the paper, everybody's calling each other names and everything else. I heard a guy the other day said, well, what does that guy stand for? I don't know. I heard he's a pretty good guy, though. Why don't we just go back to the way it was in the old days? Just go down to the bar and give everybody a half a buck or a buck and say, vote for me. Of course, now with inflation, it'd be $20. Instead of buying all these goddamn signs and put them in their yard and all that stuff, yeah, just go around house to house and say, "Hey, here's $20. Vote for me, and sign this paper that you're going to vote for me, and make it what it is." money rules. How about that? Of course, there isn't one person in 100 that has any idea what these even local candidates even stand for. In fact, it don't make any difference what they stand for, because once they get in, they're going to do what the hell they want anyhow. Platforms don't mean anything. Never did. You've seen on the national level how they lie and cheat and get in and do just the opposite. Why would you believe in anybody's advertising about what they stand for? They stand for getting rich. They stand for making more business contacts. They stand for all that kind of stuff. And if they get a little time, they might even stand for a little bit of good government, but I doubt it. So anyhow, you're going to look stupid, really, if you vote. Not voting is saying no confidence. You have no confidence in these people or their system. And that's a perfect position to take. And when they say, well, if you don't vote, you deserve what you get. No. If they're all rats, you don't vote. And they're all rats, believe me. Well, let's see what else we got here. The comments made by Cliven Bundy and Donald the Jew Sterling this month demonstrates that the U.S. is far from a colorblind society. Well, on the surface, that seems good. And the reaction to their comments has drawn further attention to the fraught relationship between racism and partisan politics. When racist statements by high-profile figures are made public, some news commentators become preoccupied with trying to discern the speaker's political affiliation. We were curious about the long-term trends in racial attitudes as expressed by Americans in the polls. Are Republicans more likely to give arguably racist responses to surveys than Democrats? Have the patterns changed since President Obama took office in 2009? Like the New York Times' Amanda Cox, we looked at a variety of questions on the racial attitudes in the general societal, in a general social survey, which has been conducted periodically since 1972. The difference is that we looked at the numbers of white Democrats and white Republicans specifically on the way Americans identified themselves in the survey. Our focus was only on the racial attitudes as expressed by white Americans toward black Americans. Of course, racism can also exist between among other racial groups. Sure can.
A vast virus database has been updated.
Well, thank you, lady. Quit interrupting my show. Get out of here. Two warnings about this data. First, survey responses are an imperfect means of evaluating racism. Social desirability bias may discourage Americans from expressing their true feelings. Furthermore, in other words, they like whites better than other people. Furthermore, the sample of Democrats and Republicans in the survey is not constant from year to year. If the partisan gap is racial attitudes towards blacks has widened slightly in the past few years, it may be because white racists have become more likely to identify themselves as Republican, and not because those Americans who already identify themselves as Republican have become any more racist. We looked at 8 questions from the general social survey. First, how many white Americans say they wouldn't consider voting for a black presidential candidate? In a 2010 edition of the survey, the most recent version to ask this question, 6% of white Republicans and 3% of white Democrats said that they would not. Well, you know those figures are a bunch of bullshit. However, it's possible that these responses have something to do with Obama himself in 2008. When Obama was a candidate rather than a president, the numbers were about equal among Republicans and Democrats. And at early times, white Democrats were more likely than white Republicans to say they wouldn't vote for a black president. In 1988, for instance, when Jesse Jackson was running for the Democratic nomination, 23% of white Democrats said they wouldn't vote for a black president, compared to 19% of the white Republicans. We can also look at whites' willingness to express negative feelings about blacks. From 1990 to 2008, white Republicans were just slightly more likely than white Democrats to say they considered blacks to be more unintelligent than intelligent. However, the numbers have fallen over time, and the small partisan gap erased itself in the past two surveys, 2010 and 2011. Well, if that's true, white Americans now consider blacks not to be inferior as far as generally the race. Intelligence. A related question asked respondents whether they think blacks lack the motivation to pull themselves out of poverty. The number on this one are high. In a 2012 survey, 57% of white Republicans and 41% of white Democrats agreed with the statement. This is also one question where the partisan gap has increased since Obama took office. What about more personal attitudes towards interactions with African Americans? A long-standing question on the survey has asked whites whether they object to a close relationship marrying a black person. The percentage of white people saying so has fallen drastically over time, to 20% of the white Democrats and 27% of the white Republicans. As of 2012, in 1990, by contrast, 65% of white Democrats and 71% of white Republicans said they'd object to an interracial marriage of a close relative. So you see what's happening there. Another question asked the respondents whether they'd object to living in a half-black neighborhood, as with marriage question. The number of white Americans saying that they would object has fallen quite a bit since the 1990s. There generally hasn't been much of a partisan gap on this question. So you see, gradually, whites are softening up, loosening up, less likely to fight. Since 1996, the survey has also asked the respondents whether they feel close to blacks. Closeness is obviously a subjective quality. And failing to feel close to those in another racial group doesn't necessarily imply racism. However, a survey question like this one may also be able to pick up on implicit racial attitudes that respondents would feel less comfortable asserting in questions about things like interracial marriage, which I think most of the people lie on their question. This question, in contrast to many of the others, has shown little change over time. It has also shown little partisan gap, although the number of white Republicans saying they don't feel close to blacks has increased some since Obama took office. The final question asked Americans whether they think society spends too much money trying to improve the conditions of blacks. This is the most overtly political of the questions that we'll study. It also shows the largest partisan gap of any of the questions, and one that has increased since Obama took office. In 2012, 32% of the white Republicans said they thought society was spending too much money trying to improve blacks' conditions, compared to 9% of white Democrats. However, it's important to note that some of the partisan gap may reflect attitudes towards government spending rather than towards African Americans specifically. For example, in 2012, 16% of white Republicans, but just 1% of white Democrats, said they thought the U.S. was spending too much money trying to improve the education system. Obviously, measuring racism is challenging through surveys or by any other means. Well, that's because a good share of the people are going to lie to you. They're afraid of being called a racist. They're afraid their race-mixing neighbor will find out. If you take the question about voting for a black president as the best indicator of racism, then only about 5% of white Americans admit to racism towards blacks. If you regard the question about whether blacks lack motivation as indicative of racial antipathy, then about half of them do. We combine the responses from the 8 questions into an index negative racial attitude. We accomplished this by averaging the number of white Americans who provided the arguably racist response to each survey item. Extrapolating the value for years in which the General Social Survey didn't ask a particular question based on the long-term trend and responses to it. As of 2012, this index stood at 27% for white Republicans and 19% for white Democrats. So there's a partisan gap, although not as large of one as some political commentators might assert. There are white racists in both parties. By most questions, they represent a minority of white voters in both parties. Now, that don't necessarily mean anything out there, because you don't need everybody. You just need a radical minority, actually. They probably represent a slightly larger minority of the white Republicans than white Democrats. Fortunately, the expression of racism by whites towards blacks has decreased over time. Well, that means they're scared to open their mouth. And for Americans in both parties, at least according to the survey. So you see that when the press jumps on everybody that says anything about race, there's a big purpose behind that. It's not just that this person has said something negative about blacks. It's to teach a lesson to scare everybody else. If they did that to him, what would they do to me? In 1990, the index of negative racial attitudes stood at 40% for white Democrats and 41% for white Republicans. There hasn't been much of an overall increase or decrease in the index since Obama took office. On the average, between 2004 and 2006 editions of the surveys, the last two before Obama was either a president or a candidate, the index of negative racial attitudes towards 22% of white Democrats and 26% for white Republicans. Those values are within the margin of error for those in 2010 and 2012. If there's a discouraging trend, it's not so much that negative racial attitudes towards blacks have increased in these polls, but they failed to decrease under Obama, as they did so clearly for most of the past 3 decades. Interestingly enough, that study is more positive than what I would have expected, because, you know, nowadays people are afraid to say what they think, and that's why they jump on these people like this Jew Sterling and Bundy or anybody that says anything racial. They come at them like a freight train, and that is, like I said, not so much to give these individuals trouble, but to send out a message to you, you lowly serf white, you slave white, you Jesus worshiper, you better do right or we'll come crushing down on you too. And you know what would happen to you? You lose your job, you might lose your wife, your kid's going to hate you forever, and the dog's going to bite you. There's only one poll that I'm interested in, and that poll hasn't been taken yet. But when it is, we'll find out who's going to win, who's going to lose. I mean, a real poll. Well, 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 that's about it for another day in the bunker, Moonsday. Be back with you Tuesday tomorrow, and I think Stray Dog's going to be in here from Joyzyland. Yeah. 14.5, we'll see you tomorrow. And if I didn't offend anybody today, let me know. And I'll try to figure out some new way of offending people tomorrow.
There ain't no man gonna invade my territory. There ain't nobody out there gonna mess with me. 'Cause I'm big and hard and battle scarred and getting long in the tooth. Desperate and hungry and got nothing to lose. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. I've been chased and I've been bit. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. They like to shoot at me, but they miss. Yeah, I'm a ain't never been trapped, and God help the people that think they got me cornered at last. I've been hunting, I've been tracking, I've been running since I was three. Born and lived in a swamp, moved with the pack to Tennessee. Raised by black and white dogs to some country, some rock and roll. They said, now boy, you don't have to quit your howling soul. Staying up all night and chasing lassies by the moon. Laying up all day on the porch playing guitar tunes. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf, and I no longer run with the pack. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf, and I don't ever look back. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf out here on the prowl. Most of us have been penned up, but I'm still running wild. Yeah, I've been chased and I've been bit. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf. This old dog knows all the tricks. Yeah. Watch out if I'm hungry.